Thank you, Rabbi. No pressure whatsoever. He's going to deliver a great message. Wow. I really don't like to be introduced that way.
He'll give it a maybe an okay message. We're not really sure.
Yeah. I have no idea what kind of message I'm going to give. But is it working? It's coming up. Ta-ta-tan. Yeah, it's working. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's truly a blessing for me to be here with you this morning. And before I get into the word, which is what really is burning in my heart, I want to give you just a brief update. I know that some of you want to know about the ministry. You want to know about my family. And usually when I come, I only give like a short minute or two about the ministry. And this morning, your rabbi gave me 2 hours for my message. So I actually have more time, okay? And I'm very excited about this. Thank you, Rabbi, for blessing me. The first thing I want to share is a great event that took place in my family. And you don't want to look at me. You want to look at here. We were able to celebrate our oldest son, Oriah's bar mitzvah. And it was really a delightful event. We're not recording yet, right? Sound? We are recording. Can you pause the recording for 1 minute, please? A Jewish perspective, and it's also a great book for many believers as it draws you. It's a Bible study that will draw you into the foundation of our faith. We also have our calendar in the back and some of those great things. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I do want to say that all the proceeds of today will go to help us with a very urgent project that we have. As you know, and I hope you know, because if you don't know, you need to start to know what's happening in Israel. A week ago, or during this past week, Israel went through a very traumatic reality, where over 400 rockets were shot at Israeli towns and communities. This one was especially hard because Hamas have realized that if they shoot 15 rockets in a minute, Iron Dome will have a hard time to prevent it from falling on civilian population. Still, in spite of everything, we have seen once again some amazing miracles. But what we don't understand oftentimes is that maybe there was a miracle with life. Maybe there were a miracle with how many people were injured. But there is a reality for the people who live there. For the kids who live there. That when we say 400 rockets, we don't talk about the airplanes, Israeli jets that are going into Gaza. We don't talk about Iron Dome. And for a few days, all they heard is like this. Go and live that way. So one of the things that we are doing now is that we are taking an entire community for a weekend retreat just to love on them. Just to show them that someone cares about them. It's a wonderful community that is right on the border with Gaza. So all the proceeds of today will go directly to help them. Now, it's funny because we're going to make a big transition now and go into an invitation that I want to give you. And before the invitation, let me show you a video. We need the volume. So I want to invite you to come and join me on a life-changing experience in Israel. And you may raise the question, well, is it safe to go to Israel? I have to tell you something. For those of you who live here in America, is it safe to go to a synagogue during the weekend? Is it safe to go to a church during the weekend? Is it safe to send your children to colleges? Is it safe to get on the freeway? There is one thing that is safe, and that is to trust God. And if you want to see your spiritual life grow, if you want to see a change in your walk with God, come to Israel. Because your life will never be the same again. And so many of you, some of you came with me. Some of you came to Israel not with me. I forgive you for that. For choosing boring tours. But regardless, I want to invite you to come and join me on this life-changing experience. We also do now a tour that is a combination of Israel and Greece. 5 days in Israel, studying about Yeshua, from Yeshua to Rav Shaul, and from Rav Shaul to the nations, and we go to 5 days in Greece, which is another great tour. One of the big things, changes that I've been personally investing a lot of my time in, is a project that we have. This project is a project to fight the BDS. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Against Israel. BDS is an organization that is working here in the United States of America. BDS' goal is to eliminate Israel from the face of the earth. Anything else that they try, any other picture that they're going to try to paint to you is a lie. And they are spreading lies constantly in your colleges, in your media, in your social media, constantly feeding and brainwashing the population here in America and throughout the world. Now, we have two options. One is to say, well, they are doing it and do nothing, or the other one is to be very active in fighting BDS. And during the past year, we've been working very hard to produce every month a video that is on YouTube, on our social media, and on our website, videos for you to share. I want to show you one of these videos. Shalom, it's Moran Rosenblit with Hope for Israel Ministries. Did you know that after finishing a long military service in the IDF, every year, thousands of Israelis venture out on a post-military backpacking trip to developing countries around the world.
Every year, around 400,000 Israelis travel to developing countries as part of their post-army trip. One Israeli organization embarks on a mission to make their vacations more meaningful.
Heroes for Life is an Israeli nonprofit that offers these young travelers a way to make their trips more meaningful by serving communities in need. The organization runs volunteer program all around the world with a vision to be part of turning Israel into a global leader of charity in developing countries while showing the real color of the IDF spirit. The programs take place in local schools and orphanages, teaching useful subjects such as English, basic math, and geography. The latest addition to the team are military doctors that offer medical care to local children who otherwise may not have access to a clinic. Year after year, each delegation returns to the same schools, investing in the same kids and building a long-term meaningful relationship with local communities. After losing a few close friends during my service in the IDF, something that touched me personally is that every delegation is named in tribute to a fallen IDF soldier who paid the ultimate sacrifice in protecting Israeli lives. These men and women who lost their lives defending Israel are a vital part of the soul of Heroes for Life. Despite the rising boycott movement around the world, Heroes for Life are proud to carry the Israeli flag everywhere they go, showing the world through their work what Israel and our people are really about. Did you know? What we do is that we have a videographer that travels around the world and is joining those different NGOs and companies and really developing the story about them. One of the great things that happen, and I just want to echo what you said, you start small and it can go bigger beyond our imagination, is that some of these companies, for example, there is a company called Fair Planet. What they do is that they are in Ethiopia, and they are helping farmers over there. In Ethiopia, you have some of the most fertile soil in the world. But they can never grow vegetables. And one of the things that the Fair Planet discovered is that the reason why they can't grow vegetables is that they don't know how to connect the right seed to the soil that will produce more vegetables. So they are there on the ground teaching them how to do that and also teaching them how to take care of diseases that will come to the plants. So if before a regular plant of tomatoes will produce one or two tomatoes, today it's probably about 8 or 10 tomatoes per one plant. It provides jobs for them. It provides food for them. It provides life for them. Since we have done the video about Fair Planet, they had so many extra donations that now they are considering starting another job in Tanzania. So really in an indirect way, we're also helping to feed the world and take care of world hunger and thirst. So this is just a great and exciting project that we are involved with that you can help us with. We already have 10 videos. Sorry, 11 videos because one went this past weekend. And you just go and you share them. We have a Beyond the Headlines in Israel web Facebook page. Just go like it and start to share those videos. You may get some fire, but fire is good because it draws us closer to God. Then we've got our threefold vision, which I'm very excited about. Just to remind you, stage one of our threefold vision is our work with youth. We have 100 kids on paper from about 17 different Messianic congregations in the Greater Jerusalem. We teach them unity. We teach them that with a privilege come responsibility. We teach them how to apply God's word into their lives. They are praying in their schools. They are reaching out to people. And it's just amazing to see those young people really on fire for the Lord. Then stage two is when they go to the army. And that is a very challenging stage for our young soldiers. And I'm saying this because today you have prayed for one of your own. I exhort you, write down his name and devote yourself to pray at least 1 minute a day for his protection, physical and spiritual. Because what they see out in the field is something that many of us are not aware of. And then they are in the field dealing with war. And then we are in the congregations praising God and hallelujah and amen. And it's very hard to connect these two. So we developed a program for them where we just meet them where they are. They can come and tell us whatever there is on their hearts. And we're just going to love on them and remind them that God still loves them. Stage three of our threefold vision is a stage that I shared with you for many years about the scholarships that we want to give. Well, this year we were able to give 14 scholarships. And these are some of the students that are representing our student work, because we want to see young Israeli professionals changing the face of Israel, and not just the face of Israel, the face of the world.
I'm Sarah Lazarus. I'm 24 years old. I was born in Germany, but I live here since I'm a year old and 10 days. Today I'm married. I live in Haifa. And me and my husband, we both study right now. I study occupational therapy, and we both start our third year. And it's not the easiest country to grow up in. You can ask my mom about how she feels about sending her children into the army. Israelis often ask me, what do you do here? You have a German passport. Why would you choose to live here? And it has to be a greater reason. But then there is, because there is God and there is a calling. And He loves Israel and He loves the Jewish people. So who are we not to do the same? In Israel, you can't stay lukewarm anymore. During teenage, you go through so many things, and it's often the age where you have to decide if you walk with Jesus or not. When I joined Neria, it was just a good place, a stable place in life. The youth group kind of stops when we go to the army, but it doesn't really, because behind the youth group stands Hope for Israel. And they never let you forget them, because also through the army, every few months, we get like a package full of chocolates and letters from kids who just write you that they love you. It's just like knowing you're loved, because it's such an intense time. In Israel, when every man and woman get to the age of 18, they have to do a service. Usually it's in the army. And I had some medical issues, so I didn't have to do the army. When I was 12, they found out that I had diabetes, which is not the end of the world, but something you have to acknowledge the existence of all the time. You can't just take a break and say, today I don't care about my sugar. But I've decided that I want to be part of serving Israel, because I love Israel and I feel my calling for Israel. I did my national service with in a hostel for youth in risk, for girls who came from really difficult backgrounds, talking about prostitution and drugs. They got there because of a court order. I was somewhere between their big sister and their mom sometimes, and something like that. I was there every day for many, many hours. It was really difficult. Stories you hear and things you experience. I didn't always believe that the world can be so cruel, and God was my rock during that time. That's when He sealed the occupational therapy in me. During the first exam season, my sugar went crazy. It was high all the time. And when my sugar is not right, I'm tired, I can't concentrate, I don't sleep well. Sometimes if it's long enough, I also have joint pains, and it's really hard for me, like for my muscles also. So during the exam season, because of the stress, the insulin wouldn't help anymore. I have to inject myself every day 4 times at least, but nothing helped. And I thought, God, how am I gonna do that? During the same time, someone from Hope for Israel approached me and told me that my scholarship was granted to me. I didn't know what to say. I like almost collapsed. I was too proud to ask God for help, for money. I was like, I can handle it myself. And He had to use a hard time to tell me, you are my daughter and I'm gonna support you and I'm gonna provide for you whatever you need, even before you ask. There is a verse, I don't know how to say it in English correctly, but that really was in my heart during the time of the studies, that through my weaknesses, His strength will be shown. And when there are people like Hope for Israel who are again there to pray, to support, they encourage people to live up to their potential, to live up to what God has called them to do, which includes studying, which includes going through the army, and then going and studying something which will in the future be a part of building up his kingdom here on earth. I want to see more young people believe that they can do it, that there are people to support them to get to good professional high places where they can change not only the people of the land but also get into politics and into the society in every level, because this is how we're going to change the world.
By the way, if you want to know more about our Beyond the Headlines project, we have our newsletters, brand news, that are devoted for this project. You know, every time I look at this video of Sarah, and I must say that for me personally, it's a video that is really inspiring me. Especially her last words. This is how we're going to change the world. We have today 14 students that believe that this is how they're going to change the world. And I want to start with a question for us. Do we believe that He, through us, can change this world? Do we sit on our couches at home and spending more time looking at all the evilness in the world, spending more time on our social media sharing about the evilness in the world, and by doing this we allow the evilness to start to affect us and to bring fears into our lives? Or do we understand that we have the key to make a difference in this world? Not just as a slogan to make this world a better place, but do we understand the responsibility that you and I have in bringing His light into this world? Because this world is going in the wrong direction, and we can continue to say that and say hallelujah and amen. But I believe that God is giving us a lot of wake-up calls. And the reality is that many of us are still sleeping. In the book of Yohanan, John, chapter 1, verses 45 to 51, we read, Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the Torah and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Yeshua saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guilt." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Yeshua answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Yeshua answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you." What a coincidence, huh? With what you just shared. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And there are a few interesting points in this story that will lead us directly into the portion that we just read from. Now, I want to say this. Rabbi and I, this is, I think, the third year in a row that we don't look at each other's notes, that we don't plan what we're going to talk about, that whenever he gets up and he starts speaking, I start sweating because I'm like, wow, he's taking from my notes right now. Only that most of the time I write my notes in Hebrew, so, you know, it will take him a little bit longer time to read that. But I'm saying this because so often we can come to the congregation and say, wow, the worship really gave us a message, and then Rabbi gave us a message, and it fits, and we think that they spent so much time planning it. And we give way too much time credit for men. Instead of saying that maybe there is truly a God who is alive and who is in control. Maybe truly there is a Holy Spirit that is guiding your rabbi and guest speakers. And maybe the Holy Spirit wants to give us a specific message. So the first point, interesting point, that we find here is when he said, we found him. Note the invitation that Philip gave to Nathanael. Or I love the Hebrew name Nathanael, which is God gave. The invitation that, hey, we found him. There is a great excitement about the fact that we found Yeshua. Great excitement. We found him. Are we excited about that? Are we excited about the fact that we found him? If the answer is yes, why aren't we doing anything about that? I remember years ago when I came here, I shared with you the $1 million challenge, so I'll share it again. Well, now the value of the dollar went down, so let's go up to $2 million, okay? But if I come now and I tell all of us that next week there is a sponsor that will give for every single person that comes to this congregation $1 million. Now, he will give to each one of you, for every person that you bring, $2 million. I can guarantee that there will be a long line of people waiting to come here. I can guarantee that all of us are going to do whatever we need to do to share with people. Hey, come on, come on! You may even offer them $100,000 just to come so you can get your $2 million, okay? How much we are excited about money. And how little we are excited about God. It can go into the guest speakers. Rabbi will bring here a big shot of a guest speaker. If he will bring one of the big shots of the messianic movement of singers, the place will be sold out. We're excited about man more than we're excited about God. Now I'm sharing with you my own conviction. I'm not putting judgment. I want you to understand that. But sometimes we need to look at them in the mirror. Hey, Rabbi, we found him! Who did we find? We found him whom the Torah, also the prophets, wrote about. It's exciting. People People live today without hope. Their hope is religion. But we have a living hope. Are we excited about that? They didn't just find anyone, but they found the one. The Almighty, the Messiah. What the prophets, the Torah, is pointing out to. Can you imagine that? And each one of us here, who at one point of his life accepted that one that connects us back to the Father, we also found him. Or he has revealed himself to us. For what purpose? So we can say we found him. So we can say, oh, I'm saved, they are not. Me to the third point. Come and see. Come and see. There are other people that also need to find him. Hey, come on. Let's go. Let me show you who he is. Not just to bring them to call Mashiach and think that your rabbi will solve all the problems of the world. Each one of us has the responsibility and the ability to come and say, hey, let's do it. Now, I know Jewish people, those who are yet to believe, will say, well, you're the missionaries, right? Oftentimes they say, well, do you read Hebrew? And if you say, no, I don't read Hebrew, they're going to say, well, your Bibles are bad. They are corrupted. What's the big deal? Tell them, you know what, you're absolutely right. I have a horrible Bible, but I'm a seeker of the truth, so why won't you bring your perfect Bible? I'll bring my horrible Bible and let's do a Bible study. Let go of your pride and just lead them into the Word of God. So come on, let's go. Let's start to invite people. And those of you who are doing it, continue to do that. You don't see fruits? Praise God. It's not about you, it's all about Him. You continue to do that. Let Him do the work. We can never underestimate how many seeds God is planting through us, through those who are yet to know Him. One day, when they come to know Him, they're like, wow! And some you know and many you don't, but it doesn't matter because it's not about you, it's all about Him. Remember years ago I was in France, speaking in France at a conference, and at the end it was like amazing. Many people came to faith, and this older lady came to me at the end, and she said, I admire you. I said, why do you admire me? She said, well, I've been here serving for 20 years and I've not seen one person come to faith. You came here and bam, there was a revival, and I looked at her and I literally wanted to get on my knees and wash her feet and say, I admire you. You have faithfully served here for 20 years, not seeing one person come to faith, yet you continue to serve. And because of the seeds that you planted, God now brought people to faith. So I admire you. You should not admire me. I am a result-oriented person. If I don't see the fruit, hey, I get bored. But she's faithfully done this. The fourth one is the words, before Philip called you. If you are here today and you are yet to know Yeshua as your Redeemer, as your personal Messiah, and I know that there is someone here today, no doubt that you are here today and you are yet to know him. How do I know it? Because your rabbi gave you a message about that. And now there is a second message about that. You are here because of God's perfect design for you to come here at such a time as this. God knew that you will come here in you where you were before you came here. He knows everything. How many of us can testify when we look at our lives before we came to know Yeshua at all those things that God has done to bring us into this perfect moment of time where He removes the veil from our eyes? I love the fifth interesting point here. When there was an acknowledgement, you are the Son of God. This acknowledgement is so, so important. You know, one of the things that we oftentimes hear is about, well, how can it be Son and God? How can Yeshua be God, right? We hear that. Well, all we have to do is ask them a question. Is the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is it in the Tanakh? And say, yes. Hopefully they'll say yes. So, would you mind to open to Isaiah chapter 9? And would you mind to go, depends what Bible you have, okay? If you read in the Hebrew chapter 9 verse 5, I think that in the English chapter 9 verse 6, that says, because a child will be born for us, a son, it says Ben, a son will be given, hello, for us. And the duty, I'm giving a little translation from the Hebrew, the responsibility will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonder. Wonder. You know, you think here about the Pele Yoetz, you know, there's a wonder, and then so many times there is a mistranslation of this great word. His name will be called Wonder because the God that we believe in is a God of wonders. By the way, in Egypt, it wasn't plagues, it was wonders. 10 wonders from the Hebrew. 10 wonders that God has done to glorify Himself, to show His absolute authority. His name will be called Counselor. His name will be called El, God. Oops. How can it be a child, a son that will be born for us, and his name will be called God, and it's in the Bible? It's in Isaiah, not in that horrible new covenant that they may view, but in Isaiah. I know what about you. I get excited about this. I know you can tell. His name will be called Mighty. His name will be called Everlasting Father. His name will be called Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. So when you acknowledge him as a son of God, it's not just, oh, you are the son of God, it's you are the inheritor. A Jewish person ought to understand that the Son of God is the inheritor, is the Messiah, is God Himself in the flesh. And that is something that we all need to understand. And again, bring it personally, it's a personal decision. In Caesarea Philippi, Yeshua came to His disciples, who do people say that I am? Well, you're a magician, you're a carpenter, you're a lunatic, You are all the things that people are saying. But then you bring it home. Home run, right? That's how you say. By the way, I love the KM is in the house. I was like, started to move. I was like, wow, Sister D, you're going to be shaking it soon, right? But who do you say that I am? Not to others. Not who the person that sits next to you. Who do you say? And what did Peter say? You are the Messiah. The Son, again, of the living God. And I love Yeshua's answer to him. Blessed are you, Peter. Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father is in heaven. And it's so important for us to understand this. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to men. Only our Father is in heaven. So stop taking credit when somebody comes to faith, because you did not do the job. God did it through you. You just had the privilege to be there and to see this miracle come to light. And stop thinking that your rabbi is the only expert. Because the same Holy Spirit that lives inside him is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside you. And God granted him great amount of wisdom, but God also granted you great amount of wisdom. So this acknowledgement that you are the Son of God is a very deep, important acknowledgement. I love the sixth one. Yeshua answered to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Again, this term is so important. The statements on its own can be outrageous if we truly understand what stands behind it. What in the world he could possibly mean by this? Well, all we have to do is to read this week portion. Jacob saw the angels of God descending and ascending on the ladder. Yeshua was referring to Jacob's dream, which speaks, by the way, clearly about the seed, about the Word Himself, and about the fact that the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is through faith in Yeshua. You hear it twice. What a miracle. So again, let's read it. Then Yaakov departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. By the way, Genesis 28, verses 10 to 17, if you follow. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in the place. And he had a dream. And behold, the ladder was set on the earth with the top reaching to the heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. See the connection? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all that I have promised. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. God affirms here, of course, his unconditional covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and later to Jacob. There is no doubt about this important point, and we don't want to kind of overlook that. We can't overlook the fact that with this unconditional promise, there is also a promise of a land, which we see today. But this covenant also shows that the promise of the seed, singular, the seed of the blessing, is to come to this world from Abraham, Isaac, and now to continue with Jacob. Promises the same promise, echoes the same promise from Genesis 12:3 that says, "And in English, come back." This one time it has to happen. "And in you, all the families of the earth, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Rav Shaul also referred to this promise when he wrote in Galatians 3:16. "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." It does not say "and to seeds" as referring to many, but rather as to one. "And to your seed," that is the Messiah. Through God's promises to Abraham, we can clearly see how it points to Messiah Yeshua. There is no doubt about that. Through his promise, we also find evidence of God's endless love for us. In that he provided the way for us to return to him. Think about it. God provided a way for you and I to return to him. We do not deserve that. But it's not about what we deserve, because that's where grace is coming from. He provided a way for you and I to return to him, and that is through Messiah Yeshua. From the beginning of times, from the very beginning, he had a perfect plan. I just sometimes marvel at that. From the beginning of time, God knew that someone will be today on this Shabbat at Kol Mashiach, because he knew that you needed to hear this message and you need to make a decision to return to him today. Amazing! Amazing. It's not by mistake and by coincidence that after Jacob woke up from his dream, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is a gate of heaven. Even today, when we wake up from this spiritual sleep, wow, God was here. Wow, his word is alive. Am I the only one who's excited here? No. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm still okay with time. There's always a fear, you know, of your rabbi. Yeah, last night I had the privilege to speak for the first time in an all-black church. All right? Now, when you speak there, you get, There is some life, okay? There is some life. You know what I mean? There is some life. So can we start to have some life here at Kol Mashiach also when we say something that is exciting? Gee. Sorry, Rabbi. I just lost myself. But I think it's so important for us to understand that this spiritual blindness, we wake up and just like Jacob, surely there is a God in this place. And I did not know this. And we can also wake up from this spiritual sleep only if we accept the seed of the promise, which is our Messiah. We can't fully experience the presence of God Almighty without the Messiah. And He is the entrance to the kingdom. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And the life. No one, no good deeds, nothing that we do can get you to the Father but through Him. No one. There ain't no way. I get excited here now. There ain't no way you can get to the Father but through Him. Just as a final thought, I want to remind you of something that I shared with you last year. Last year we were looking in depth into Parashat Bereshit. And I shared with you about an amazing discovery that I had as I was studying that parasha. In ancient Aramaic translation of the Torah that called Targum Onkolos, it refers to Genesis 3:8. You know, it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Onkolos translation actually said that they heard the voice of the Word of God. The Word of God walking in the garden. This gives us a better understanding of John 1:1-4 that says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, the Word was present from the beginning. That's where you find it. He was walking in the garden. It wasn't just like, oh, some type of a show. He was walking in the garden. Where are you, little lamb? We're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. How do you know you're naked? Did you eat, by the way, from that which I told you not to do? But also from the beginning, man was trying to solve his problem with his own way. Fig leaves. Today, which we think that our offering will lead us to eternity, our prayers, our fasting on Yom Kippur will lead us. But from the beginning, God has provided a different way. He gave them a skin of an animal, the first sacrifice. Again, what Rabbi was pointing to, the first blood sacrifice as an atonement of our sin. Now, how is it connected to us? Because in our parasha, in chapter 28, verses 21, and Jacob said, and I return to my father's house in safety, and the Lord will be my God. But a better way to translate it according to Onkolos is that, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Word, again, it's the same Word that was there from the beginning, will be my God. Now, the safety here, I hate the translations in English, Rabbi. It says, Ani achzor lebet Adonai b'shalom. I return to the house of God at peace, at the fullness of peace, through the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. That's the way to return to the house of God. In closing, many years ago, I said to God, and I'm challenging you to say the same today, if this is true, if this is true. And there may be some ifs here. You may even go through something in your life right now that has caused if to come into your life. One of my favorite places is to be on the Sea of Galilee on the boat. And I raise up that story. Yeshua comes, they thought that he was a ghost or something, and what they say, Peter says, if it's you, there's no doubt that it's him. Tell me to get on the boat. There's no doubt that it's him. He said, come. So you may be here and you say, if it's you, if it's true, if Yeshua is the promised God, I said this, I want to know it. Not just as a head knowledge. Not just because I grew up in a believing home. I didn't. But this is for some of us here. I want to know. I want to know that I'm not wasting my time. I want to know that when I tell my parents and my family and my friends, that many of them stop being family and friends, not my parents by the grace of God, that I'm a believer in Yeshua, that it's not a waste of time, that it is the mere truth. I said to him, if it's true, I want to know it. Not based on experience or feeling, but to truly know it. Rabbi, you're going to like it. From the kishke. From the inside out. And I want to exhort each one of you to do the same. Just like Yeshua knew where Nathanael was, so he knows where we are right now. And he's waiting for us. You can follow Jacob's example and say, and I return to my father's house in safely, then the word will be my God. May God bless all of you, and Shabbat Shalom.